Thank you, and to several of my many new bosses, I appreciate the warm greeting. You can imagine this is a big occasion for me, one that could freeze my creative spirit if it were not for one thing. Have you ever remembered anything that any convocation speaker ever said? Me neither. So this is actually a little bit something of a free pass that I hope you'll remember fondly, but I'm certain not specifically. Ezekiel and I have two simple things we'd like you to see, and I'll give them away right up front before your attention wanders. Notice how the superabundant stream of living water flows away from the living sacred space. And notice the social body, which the flow enables, nurtures, and heals. I have to tell you, I'm thinking of Dr. Mac Bryan this morning, whose office as professor of ethics was just up and to my left, right up over here. And I'm thinking of a kindred spirit of Mac's, Dr. Steve DeGrucci of South Africa, a close friend who died, ironically, in a wild river just 2 years ago. Steve worked with me in the early phases of what has become the movement in the field of faith and public health. He thought that that work was helping the church relearn its mother tongue, as he said. Steve's last words to his son, who was in the river with him that day, was, "Go on ahead." In effect, this is my attempt to follow Steve's request theologically. In doing so, thinking of both Mac and Steve, I'm aware they would not want to talk about the past, but our future, so we could learn our mother tongue and use it in a powerful way in our day. Both Mac and Steve thought a lot about water, how it gave life, but also how it moved differently to and through the rich and the poor, how it was sacred, but often desecrated. Both of my twin fields use river as metaphors. Public health speaks frequently of going upstream to the determinants of disease. For theology, water is not just useful, but sacred, sacramental. Ezekiel saw it flowing from the altar. Steve saw the whole cycle as sacred, and I quote him, "There is only one stream of water. What passes through the bodies of humans passes through the bodies of animals, insects, plants. It flushes through our sanitation systems, flows through our rivers, seeps through the wetlands, rises to the heavens to become clouds, and returns to nourish us and all living things. There is no life outside this cycle. And theology has to get real about it." Mac talked about watersheds. A watershed is a cascade of miracles, but still the most simple thing, water running downhill. That simplicity escapes most of us. We hardly see it, and we hardly see ourselves in it. Mac and generations of other minority voices in Wake's ethical tradition did notice. His brilliance was telling the truth about radically stupid things and pointing the opposite way. If your social watershed is, as ours is, polluted by stupid racism, stupid violence, stupid nationalism, sexuality, and yes, stupid religion, point the other way. And to clean the social watershed, you have to go uphill. You have to notice that you're part of the pollution. So our university motto is pro humanite. We are in favor of humans. We think them worth attention, worth understanding, their life, our lives, sacred. It's helpful to be simple and see ourselves as living in a kind of social watershed which we are pro. To pro humanite is to carry about the whole stream, the whole watershed. And that's not comfortable to do so locally. Wake Forest and Wake Baptist Health have been and are extremely powerful influences shaping the health of that whole watershed. My entire life, especially the adult part, has been spent in and around institutions complicit with the leading causes of death. Tobacco, and here obesity at Emory, which floats on Coca-Cola, and then 7 years on the Mississippi Bluffs, built serving plantation cotton, fertilized by racism. So I speak within, not apart from, complicity. We, humanité, are born complicit, connected by a stream of history that carries us forward, but itself carries the past which is not past. Ezekiel is not describing the Mississippi or the Yadkin, or he would have mentioned the harvest of suffering amid the fruit trees. I had forgotten that the Yadkin flows by our city that looks like Camelot to someone from Memphis, but has nearly the same disparities in infant mortality. The county that I can see from the roof of the hospital has nearly the worst rates of infant mortality in the state that has the second worst in the United States. That takes us beyond wonder, right to weird, and then demands theological language. It is wicked. This, in the social watershed, dominated by us, the largest industry, the largest employer upstream, the institution where I could smell tobacco being milled as a student, but also learned of Dr. King and his incendiary dream of the beloved community in a watershed healed and watered by a stream of living waters that would not quit. About 10 years ago, I was immersed in the living waters of Southern Africa, which had experienced the miraculous delivery from apartheid. And then, in one of the cruelest twists, HIV/AIDS washed down that social watershed, destroying a generation at the moment that hope had a chance. On the front lines in the villages, the role of religion was crucial, both complicit and compassionate. AIDS overwhelmed all the governments across the continent. And the World Health Organization turned, as a last thought almost, to a little band of academics about the size of our faculty here that was quietly, curiously working on whether the fundamental question on whether religion as it actually existed on the ground was an actual asset on the same bitter health soil that had produced HIV/AIDS across the journey of life that the people actually walked. Could faith advance the health of the public? Could religion itself be pro-humanité? And if so, how? We began the study funded by the World Health Organization by going into the villages of Lesotho, asking as humbly as an academic can, which is not very humble, how they understood the connection between faith and health. And we quickly learned that the question made no sense. Indeed, the people we asked felt sorry for us, because in their language there is no word for health that does not include faith, no word for faith that does not include health. It is impossible to talk about them as separate, and therefore impossible to talk about connecting them. They taught us a new word, bopelo, which means very close to the shalom that Ezekiel imagined fed by the living waters. Now, once we had a better idea about what was worth knowing and how to talk about it, we learned how to notice it. We learned how to see it. We learned how to appreciate it and echo the man in Ezekiel's dreams. Can you see it? The findings from that study are vital, but I'm interested today in the theological, ecclesiological, organizational implications for bodies and organizations such as ours, with a faith legacy and hopes of being, acting, doing pro-humanité. The first step was taken by Steve DeGruchy just before he died. He wrote about the six basic things that faith groups did on the ground in Africa And I'm certain they are the six basic things that the 700-plus congregations of Forsyth County are doing here. I quote him, "The first and most obvious is spiritual encouragement, which denotes the range of participant responses such as hope, spiritual care, prayer, faith, trust. Terms used to describe the way in which religion gives people an inner strength to proceed with resilience, courage, and determination in the midst of ill health, poverty, misfortune. Secondly, congregations offer compassionate care to represent responses such as care, support, compassion, love. And then, thirdly, they give knowledge in the areas of education, training, sensitization, teaching. A pointer to the role that religious entities play in both formal and informal education. Fourthly, they give material support, such as providing food parcels for the sick, clothing for orphans. Fifth, they offer moral formation. This is the way in which religion is perceived to shape behavior, lifestyles of people, and includes responses that you hear off the ground about moral behavior, change, self-control, positive living, patience, temperance. And lastly, they do offer up curative interventions in the range of ways in which religion consciously intervenes to cure ill health, either in a biomedical way or alternate way, including things like the facilities, healing, health services, infrastructure, the human resources that pour into our communities. I work in a billion-dollar organization that North Carolina Baptist congregation started exactly to do that. Later this fall, Forsyth Future, with some help from School of Divinity students and the faculty here, will release a first draft of similar raw data on local faith networks, which include more than 700 congregations. I hope that we do as well reflecting on what they do as did the Africans. The first step is to work with the right science partner. Now, I would note there's a long and useful relationship between theology and the sciences of psychology, out of which has grown faith-sensitive counseling and the extraordinary work of chaplains and spiritual care providers. But we have more science to work with that is theologically significant, specifically public health science, which focuses on the social body. The social body is not just a collection of autonomous individuals who happen to be in the same place. And bopelo, the word taught to us in our first study in Lesotho, is not a quality among individuals who are being shaped by God just how to behave correctly towards each other, even for the purposes of health. Shalom, bopelo, describe a social body that is not sort of like a body or just a body in the mind of a poet or a prophet. It's a body. It is the subject of public health science. A public is not something normally thought of as sacred, but without it understood as sacred, it's really hard to see how it works. Kind of like with one's person's body. You take the sacred away from a human, it's really hard to explain how we behave. Shalom is what the social watershed made into one people by God's action experiences or not. Shalom is not what an individual person has, even by participation. Shalom is not just an aggregate quality, at least for those of us in the tradition of Jesus. Shalom, bopelo, is the work of God, the work of the Spirit. Now, we are right to praise the fruits of God's creating Spirit and the dazzling insights and inventions of science and scholarship. Faith is about what hasn't happened yet, what hasn't been thought yet, what hasn't been invented yet. So it is the perfect foundation for radical innovation. But it's easy to miss the most vital and interesting contribution of faith. It creates webs of relationship that do offer efficiencies to the many human systems. They do offer intelligence and creativity. that allow systems to create new possibilities. The social watershed itself is the miracle. Now, we saw this in Memphis, where we created a web of 500 congregations linked to the health system there. And we were able to see that the web changed the data. It changed raw mortality rates. The people from that web stayed out of the hospital 39% longer. We saw lower costs, but it was the work of the web, not clever machines. The miraculous effects of webs of trust that are free to embody webs of faithful connection. It's not the techniques or clinical intervention. It's the evidence of trust, which is a quality that God creates. The most modern health science is focusing on ways that humans are organized as networks, not just as big aggregate clumps of individual autonomous people. Even, especially, amid chaos, disease, but also you see in these webs the ways in which behaviors such as compassion and kindness are virtues extended to strangers in ways that are not random at all. This is the way to understand the traditions in which we work in and the work that they have done. It's a way to imagine the future and what a divinity school has to give to that future. It is of profound theological significance that public health points us towards the reality of the social body, the world that God so loved. Now, any one of our lives is so frail, limited, bounded, random, on which to base any hope of transformation. Surely, this is the most obvious thing in all of human life. But the testimony is not entirely on bleak unpredictability. For turbulence, unpredictability has an upside. Indeed, theologically, we might wonder whether unpredictability in human experience actually trends towards the upside, as Dr. King suggested. Human plans are often swept away, but sometimes often improved in the process. Those of us who work with human communities are humbled by the realization that we can only build a trellis on which the living web might grow if God grows it. We can build a trellis, and that is not a small or artless feat, but we do not grow the vine. We are not responsible for the branches. That's God's work, or at least that's my theological seed I would like to plant and nurture. Part of the lesson, I believe, is that you're going to be pro humanite, you have to get in the sacred river and get wet. I, as a Baptist, want to say immersed. The findings from Africa and from Memphis on the effectiveness of faith groups about improving health outcomes is challenging precisely because the impact is inseparable from the spiritual practices that form, sustain, reform, express faith. Worship, prayer, practices of accompaniment, hope, and lament are not advanced by stripping them of their religious essence and explaining them in the more language, in the more barren language of functional outcomes. The health of the social body is a byproduct of an essentially mysterious social faith. It is God's work. We all swim in a living water of a river, not just standing on its banks watching it go by. And we find God amid the ongoing unpredictability at the heart of modernity that itself is more liquid than solid. We know, because we can feel it, that the turbulent river never lets us forget that history emerges from that unpredictability, flowing with good and bad and tangled things all at the same time. I like that. I suspect the future will be like that too, as God astonishes and surprises with creativity and hope amid the wild tumult of human systems of which we are part. Ezekiel dreamed of living water flowing in superabundance from the altar of God, cleansing, healing, nurturing, sustaining as we go. Surely, surely, we can see that even here. Amen.